a very, very, very big schus for me personally, for our yeshiva generally, to have the Rosh Yeshiva here with us, Rav Aaron Lopiansky, with us today. And the relationship between the Vaseret and the Yeshiva Greater Washington is growing. And I will share with you that that I visited the yeshiva when I was in America last week, meeting with some boys that are in the high school there. And we have one of our alumnus, who was Shana Aleph last year, Eitan Tenenbaum, is learning there this year. And I was there last week. It was absolutely 100% Nordic. It was freezing cold. That was when it was like real. And I wanted to get to Shacharis at 7:45 in the yeshiva. So I put it into the GPS, into the Waze, to get to Shacharis. And I got there about 7:30, 7:35, and I was amazed. It was like a ghost town. No one there, and I was fearing, because I'm an Avel, I was nervous about getting a minion. I was fearing that maybe it was too cold in school. You know, yeshiva was closed or something, but I couldn't imagine yeshiva closing. Yeshiva's don't close. So I'm waiting, like it's 7:44. I'm waiting, it's empty. Finally, a person comes by, and I said, "There's minion 7:45." He goes, "No, we don't have minion here." I said, "Really?" I was like really flabbergasted. And then it turns out I was at the Yeshiva Greater Washington Girls School, so that didn't help me much. So I went to Woodside. I caught the 8 o'clock over there, and I got to the yeshiva. Any event, I feel Ravan Lopiansky and I don't know each other very well, but I feel like an intimate connection right now, because I have just finished his recent Sefer on Ben Torah for Life, and I am thoroughly moved by the messages in addition to the scholarship that I knew, but the messages that are being transmitted, and the wholesome messages, the hashkafa, the halacha, and everything that permeates, is something that is nothing short of inspiring. I think it's must reading for every single Ben Torah, whether someone who's been in yeshiva for life or not. And it's a very, very big schus for us to have Rosh Yeshiva with us this morning.
It is very special. One of the people today who's in the staff at the yeshiva, and probably in many ways a central column, Rabbi Sher, he's the mashkiach today, and he is somebody who learned here. I remember when he came, he had some chaverim also came subsequently, and he's become today really the person. He hopefully will be here in a few weeks himself, but he's somebody that in many ways embodies what the yeshiva wants from Talmidim, and the type of Ben Torah we'd like to see develop. If you care to visit the yeshiva, please remember not to visit the girls' schools, because it's a halbatzaro when your yeshiva visits a girls' school. If you come to a girls' school, your reception might be even cooler than that. So we do like to keep them very separate. And it's like 2 miles, so it's not one of the attractions of the yeshiva. I was asked to speak a little bit of the topic about this idea of a Ben Torah for life, and it's really something that I feel is our generation's challenge, and we wrestle with. Whether you spend many years in yeshiva and kolel, whether you spend a year or two or three in yeshiva and then move on, in all cases there is going to be a real change, and it's something you're going to have to deal with. And I'd like to share an idea that gives a certain nekuda, I feel, of significance, how to arrange the pieces. I want to start with something in the parasha. There's a verse from Balatanya. Balatanya said a person has to live with the times. And he said living with the times is that every parasha HaShavua has some important points relevant to that week. Some people dash even the Aliyah. Valkapanim, in this week's parashas, I think there's a nekuda that is very relevant to us. We have three things in the Mishkan. In other words, the Mishkan proper consists of three kelim. They are the Shulchan, the Menorah, and the Ketores. the Kodesh HaKadoshim is sort of above or beyond, and the Chotzer, which includes the Mizbeach Ola, the Mizbeach HaChutz, is also not quite that. It's a Chotzer, but it's not it. The it of the Makom Shechina includes three Kelim: the Shulchan, the Menorah, and the Zeh HaKtores. On all three of these Kelim, it says you're supposed to keep the menorah lit every day from Erev Ad Boker. You're supposed to bring Ketores twice a day, morning and night. And you're supposed to keep the lechem all the time there. The word tamid is used on all three of these kelim. By the lechem aponim, it's literally tamid. But it's interesting, even though it's not the same bread, but the bread was always, they slid out the old bread and put in the new bread, so effectively it was tamid, still, it's, Rashi says it's tamid once every week. It's constant because every week the bread changed, but it's constant because every week. The menorah was only at night, the ketores was twice a day, and the word tamid is used on all of these three. Rashi points that out, that the word tamid in Lashon Kodesh means not always, but constant. Now, I'd like to ask myself, why does the Torah need to say it? By lechem aponim, I understand using the word tamid in the sense that there never should be a gap. When you're finished with this bread, you take it off, you patch it around for a few minutes and put on the new bread. I understand the word tamid over there would mean never leave it without bread, even though that's not the real meaning of it. But the menorah, it says, every morning, every night, light the menorah. So tamid is telling me what to keep doing it. So why is, what's the word tamid adding to that? The same thing by the ketores. It says morning and evening you bring ketores. So that's what you're supposed to do. So tamid is not telling me anything more than that. Is it telling me anything more than that? And then we have a carbon tamid. So carbon tamid, I understand a little bit better, because a carbon tamid means that I have to give it a name. There's korban musafim, there's korbanes chova, there's korbanes nedava. Well, what exactly is this carbon? So tamid would mean the daily carb, at least I could at least understand it, but it's also, the word tamid is used in all these places. What does the word tamid convey? Let's go to something else. It says in the Gemara in Shabbos that when a person comes to Shema, they're going to ask him, Kavaita itim l'Torah. Were you Kovea itim l'Torah? Now, I understand that it's important to learn. And when you come to Shemayim, they'll ask you, how much Torah did you learn in your life? Just like they'll ask you, how much stakas did you give in your life? Now, it doesn't say anything about being koveat stakka. A person is supposed to give stakka. There's different shiurim in halacha. And I am sure the schar is based on the amount of stakka and how difficult it was for you and how good the purpose of the stakka was and so on. How much mitzvahs a person did, maisim tovim, chesed, and many other things. It's how much you did. Is it helpful if you set aside a clear kvius when you do it? It certainly is helpful. But, so why doesn't they ask us in Yom HaDin how much Torah you learned? It's a good idea if I want to tell somebody, if you want to make sure that you're in a busy schedule, you learn Torah, let's make it very, very regular. But imagine one person had erratic starim, but he learned over his lifetime, let's say, I don't know, a million hours, just pluck a number out. This other person had kviyasitim, and he learned half a million hours. So who would get more schar? Who would have a better standing on the Yom HaDin? Wouldn't it be the person who learned more? Why is that Goshan Kavaitit Notar? Kviyasitim is a good, it's a helpful structure. But it's not the thing itself. Isn't the learning a thing itself? And yet it says, Kavati itim l'Torah. So I'd like to understand the word keva. It says, Asei toroscha kva, o melachtecha aroi. And I'd like to try to understand what that means. We have many different activities we do. And the relationship of these activities to each other, one way is measuring how much we do. Another way is measuring which one is the point of reference to the others. So, for instance, in a business, we have, in a big, big company, we'll have production, development, marketing, legal, counsel, many, many different pieces. And in different products, different industries, and at different times, there'll be different amount of expenditures on each one of these. We also have a profit. Now, one, let's say we're sitting together and we're different companies, or in the company itself, and we're presenting different approaches. And one person says, I put a lot of effort into marketing. The other one says, I put a lot of effort into efficient production. I put a lot in this. And each one makes very good points. Imagine one person comes along and says, you know, we don't make much profit, but wow, do we advertise really well. We look at him, you know, this must be like a comic relief or something. This must be, what are you talking about? Profit is what the company is. You can argue, all the arguments will center around what approach maximizes profit. But you're never going to say, we may not make a lot of profit, but boy, we do fantastic. You must see our advertisements. They're amazing. So if you're running an advertising agency, maybe it makes sense. But it doesn't make any sense. So the word kavua, it's like you have in math, you have a variable function and a fixed function. You have something that's nikba, that is the thing itself, the essence of it, and that's not changing. The essence of a business is profit. And then you have variables that surround that. And when I want to measure and ask myself, how do I measure how much development of new products and how much production and how much marketing and so on, so all the arguments will flow around one fixed point, and that is profit. Will more advertising bring in more profit or not? Will better production increase the profit margin and so on? So the word kavua, as opposed to the word aroi, doesn't denote so much quantity. It might be, when you take a look at a sheet, at a spreadsheet, profit is one line. But that's the line. You play with everything else. Everything else could be varied except for the profit margin. And therefore, the different pieces are variables. They are the variables that relate to the fixed point of profit. In a person's life, he has many, many, many activities. And the question is not how much of each do I do, but the question is what is the fixed point that determines other activities. A person might sleep, a person sleeps 7-8 hours a night, that's supposed to be the norm, and that might take up, that's probably one of the major activities we do. Nobody will say that the purpose of life is to sleep, except for yeshiva bacha maybe. But other than that, nobody is going to say, well, I focus my day around. I was once, when I was Eisha Torah, I had an incoming student from, I think it was Cornell, and it was a bright kid, and I asked him what his major was, and it was the weirdest major, like a really patched up major. And I asked him, what's pshat? So he said, well, let me explain it to you. I decided that college for me is going to be party time. There's nothing doing in Binghamton, New York. And that's where Cornell's located. So I'd have to drive into the city, drink my way through the night, and come back. So I said, I'm not getting up before 1 o'clock. So I picked all the courses I could take after 1 o'clock in the afternoon and put them together. Whatever major came out, that's what I majored in. True story, he told this to me. The poor fellows came to Eish HaTorah and davening was 7 in the morning and you know, whatever it was. But so his kvius was looking at night and everything else had to fit around it. It makes sense. Once you agree that partying is the kvius, everything else falls into place automatically. He's got a focal point and everything else is coming around. The word kvius means that. There's another, it's actually, the concept of kvius is so significant that it has halachic practical significance. If I ask myself what to prioritize in doing in the world of mitzvahs, there's something called tadir. Tadir v'she'ena tadir tadir kaidim. Now, that's something that at first glance sounds a little bit counterintuitive. For instance, shechiyanu, we only make our mitzvahs that come from time to time, because there's a chvivis to it. You know, a mitzvah, eating a kazayis matzah, we do it a lot of zest. Sitting the first night in the sukkah, we do a lot of zest. It's a rare mitzvah, and that's why we make shechiyanu on it, because there's a chvivis to it. And yet, when it comes to do mitzvahs, we prefer the tadir. The Gemara says, fascinating halacha. The Gemara asks about shlomim versus chata. Shlomim are more common. And Gemara says, why don't you give that preference? The Gemara says, matzi kamrit? Tade ayiboyala. You're talking about a frequent mitzvah. I'm talking about something that's tadir. Frequent and tadir is not the same. My assumption is the word tadir means like the word tamid that we're talking about. It means fix. It means it's there. The Gemara asks about bris milah, and the Gemara says bris milah is tadir over Pesach. Rashi says one pshat. Sfasemis says a pshat. He feels Rashi's pshat is dafuk. Sfasemis says bris milah is called tadir because since it's engraved in your flesh, it's called tadir. In other words, it's as a fixed point in a yid's person. If tadir means the way we describe it, something which is fixed and everything else going to revolve around it, bris milah is the most fixed point in a person's metzias. That's kvius. So if we're to ask ourselves, what is the most important takeaway a person takes from his tkufa in yeshiva to life ahead, you're not going to keep anywhere near the start. No matter what arrangement you have, you don't keep the type of Seder Hayom that you keep in yeshiva. So it doesn't translate itself on yeshiva, I'm learning X amount of hours a day and I'll do that over there. It doesn't translate itself that way, because it's something that it depends what you're working and how you're working, so on and so forth. The thing that a person can take away is what's kavua and what's ikar and what's tafel. In other words, the one thing we shouldn't switch is not what we do at our time, but what's the bottom line. When we enter the secular world, the big world of career, business, etc., the real issue is our mind switches and says getting to the top is the important thing in whatever field you are. Making the most money is the most important thing. So the real problem starts with the kvius changes. I think the pasuk emphasizes the word tamid because this is the Mishkan is the place that's kavua for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's his bias. A home is your fixed. Even if you're a wandering salesman and you in practice spend most of the year traveling and roaming around, but your home is your kvius because it's fixed. The Mishkan, the Torah is telling you that all of these different daily activities are not just a frequency. They are because your fixed point of Ruchnis is over there. I want to tell over a story about somebody who's living. I'm not going to mention the name, but it's somebody who's living, and in many ways it embodies this point. There's a person, Meir Sharam, a real tzaddik. He has a store for Tashmishei Kedusha. People are familiar, know he's the most reliable person. He's somebody you can rely on. He's Ish Emes, Zohar Mitzvahs. He has a store. And he has his hours when the store's open. And one of the things he's makvid on is Friday he closes at 11 o'clock. That's it. The person told me this story, a friend of mine, was standing in the store 11 o'clock on Friday, and a group of tourists came in to buy tefillin. Tefillin is a big item, it's expensive, you make profit on it. And he said, I'd like to buy 15 pairs of tefillin, for the whole group. So he said, it's 11 o'clock, and I close. Person says, no, we're not here to drink a cup. I'm not going to sit and measure and look at the tefillin and see if it's the right color, if it's the right size, and decide then. We're here to buy 15. He said, it's 11 o'clock. I'm not here Friday. So he said, we're just taking and going. He said, you know what? Here are the keys and help yourself. But I am not here from 11 o'clock. And he went left. So I thought about this story. Is it a mile in Shabbos? There's no halacha that you can't sell film at 11 o'clock Friday. I assure you, there's no iser. Is it a neder? Maybe. But what's the real takeaway? This person had made the fixed point in his life this. So anyone else, if somebody said, well, the main thing is to make the money, and as long as it's mutter, it's okay. So there's no iser in the world Friday, 11 o'clock, to sell a dozen pairs of film. But in this person's mind, it was a very different approach. The kvias is whatever he had set out as his kvias. Wherever his Shabbos starts, wherever his Shabbos ends, whatever it is. So it's just like, imagine somebody's coming in to do some deal, and I have a much bigger deal waiting for me. I'm a wholesaler, and a guy comes in retail to buy three or four pieces. It's not where I am. That is the practical application of kavua. Yeah. In other words, kavata itim l'Torah is not because you learn more, it's because your day revolves around the central nekuda. Whatever it is, each person, based on his level of what he decides is appropriate for him, the key is to make it a kvias. Because kvias is not a quantity, it's who you are. What is it? I have somebody I learn with once a week. Exactly once a few weeks. He's a donor to our yeshiva. Himself is an older person, not from, a very fine person, and he's a very very bright person. He went to law school and then went into business, and he's a prosperous businessman, and so on. He was once telling me about why he didn't go into law. He said after he finished school, it was one of the big schools, I don't remember which one it was, he interviewed with a very important firm. And they asked him, okay, if you have an important family event and a very important company event, which one do you choose? He said, that's obvious, your family. So he said, you're not for us. We need people where the firm is the first thing in their lives. And he said, I sure am not for you, because I just don't understand how you could even think like that. And then he decided, he realized that's a certain mentality, and he went into his own business and did very well, prospered. But that's a point. What's nitcha b'fnei me? In other words, what is my kvias, and what is there in order to enhance my kvias? You can't take away a schedule from yeshiva and apply it to life, unless you wanted a few that are zochah to be in a yeshiva all their lives. But what you can take away is to set a certain kvius in life, whether it's the davening with a minyan, whether it's the davening, whether it's the mitzvahs, whatever it is, but sticking to those things, the cheshma should not be, well, halachically, can I push it away now? Halachically, many things can be pushed aside. But those things that you've said as your kvias define who you are. The din, kavata itim l'torah, means, did you define yourself by your seder? Is the work and the money a means for it? Or the other way around? It's one of the activities of life. And that's it. That's, I think, what you can take away. So the Torah says, a Mishkan is built. The activities of the Mishkan don't happen daily. They're tamid. The lechem, the menorah, the keteris, they are tamid. A house, a residence, is defined by your tamidus. These are fixed points that never vary, because this is the essence, this is who you are, this is where you are, this is where you belong. And Be'ez Hashem, from the boys we've met, and the one Brass in Yeshiva, I feel that's part of the chinuch, and understanding that whatever fixed points that you make in life are going to define you, and that's who you are. And the mile of having some kavua is, no matter where things take you in the other times, the fixed point, your home, is always the points that you were zecha to be kaveya. Batzlacha.